views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you uncover the secrets to living your best possible life at work, at home, and at play. It's no big surprise that relationships are a key part of the human experience. Sometimes, though, I think we get so caught up in the drama surrounding us that we forget how much influence we actually have on our relationships. Now, like me, you probably could create a whole list of relationships that have been troublesome throughout your life. Some will be more distant, like a substitute teacher or bus driver that you really couldn't stand, but you didn't see them that often. Others will be much closer, like your boss, your colleague, your neighbor, your uncle. And so they have a more significant influence on your life. Still others will be critical players in your world, like maybe your sister, your child, your life partner. And that can cause all kinds of disruption. Now, typically, when we find ourselves in a relationship that we really don't like, one of three things will happen. Number one, you or the other person will figure out a way to end the relationship. So maybe one of you will move away or something that stops you from having to be around that person. Number two, one of you takes it upon yourself to fix the relationship. Or number three, you or the other person try to pretend that things are fine when they really are not. Now, unfortunately, far too many people live in number three, where they've slipped into toleration mode. They hate being around the other person. They avoid them when possible, which means they might avoid parts of their lives they would like to participate in, but they can't because that other person's there. Or they find themselves wishing that that person would change or disappear from their life. Now, this is not a happy place to be, and I feel for you if that's your current experience. On top of that, even if you opted for number one and ended an undesirable relationship, it's quite likely that this relationship will keep resurfacing, or you'll attract a new person into your life who starts causing this same problem. You must work through the relationship issue for it to go away. Because some things come into your life to help you learn something. Now, on the other hand, if you put option two into place and took it upon yourself to fix the relationship, perhaps by seeking counseling, reading books, taking a course, or through trial and error on your own, you probably found that that person quietly drifted out of your life or stayed in your life but completely stop bothering you, like they just no longer had their finger on your trigger point. Or, even better, they actually became one of your strongest relationships. Your relationships are in your life for a reason. And when you can figure out a way to learn the lesson that they're here to teach you and move on, life will become much easier. So today I want to share five secrets I have learned that can help you improve all of your relationships, whether they're troublesome or trouble-free, whether they're significant or more distant, so that you can stop any repeating cycles and love your life. To use this information most effectively, It would be best for you to think of a troubling relationship that you're currently experiencing and then use what I'm saying, apply it towards that relationship, just in your own mind while you're listening. If you can't think of one, then feel free to use one from your past that still feels a little bit unsettling. And well, if you don't have one of those, you really are an anomaly, but if that's the case, just make one up and think it through. One quick note before I begin. If you're dealing with a person who is mentally unstable, especially if they lack the ability to empathize or to feel remorse, you can still use the information to heal yourself, but building a relationship might be a challenge. So in the end, if it is a relationship that you can leave, that might be the answer. My point is, please don't take this information to mean that every relationship can be fixed. Many are in your life to teach you something, and once you get it, you can move on into a more happier circumstance, and they really will fall aside and no longer be part of your world. All right, so secret number one, use iMessages to get to the root of the problem. It's no secret that clear communication can be helpful in any relationship. Telling the other person how you feel, why you feel this way, helps them tune in to what's going on for you. This doesn't mean that they will always be accepting or understanding of how you're feeling, but at least it gives you a chance to explain what's going on for you, and it also gives them a chance to tell you how they feel in response. The challenge with this is that many people have no trouble telling the other person that they're mad at them or that they want them to change what they're doing, but they do this in an attacking way or without tuning in to what's really going on for them. Using iMessages to guide you is a secret that I've found will take you much deeper and help you discover what's really going on, but only if you're willing to go there. An iMessage is a simple communication tool which has you follow a very simple formula of I feel, and then you fill in the blank with whatever you're feeling, when you fill in the blank with whatever is happening. A good iMessage, or I statement as they're sometimes referred to, doesn't use the pronoun you in it, because saying it this way will often cause you to flip into blame mode and start thinking that the other person is the problem. And for the other person, it often will shift them into the defensive. So let's say that you're trying to share a frustrating story with your significant other, something that happened to you that day, okay? And he keeps interrupting you with questions. So you can feel yourself getting angry and are ready to yell at him, just quit interrupting me. I hate when you do that. Now, you know from experience that this will start a whole different argument. So instead, you decide to use an iMessage. You put the formula into place, and you come up with, okay, I feel frustrated because you keep interrupting me. Now, this is better, but an alarm bell still goes off because you've used the accusatory you word. Can you see how thinking because you keep interrupting me is making you feel like they are to blame, like you are causing this? This is giving your power away when you think this way. So you go a bit deeper. And you figure out how to say it without using you. Now, stick with me here. It sounds like such a silly thing, but this is actually where you start getting to the real truth of the matter. So, I feel disrespected. Or maybe you feel hurt or angry or unimportant. Doesn't matter, but just put what you're feeling in there. So, I feel disrespected when I'm interrupted. It hurts my feelings. Now you ask yourself, why? Why do I feel hurt by being interrupted? And maybe you come up with, because I feel like what I have to say isn't important. In fact, I feel invisible when I'm cut off in mid-sentence. Can you see how this creates a much deeper level of understanding? One minute you were ticked off because the other person was being so rude, and now you realize that there's something much deeper going on. Now, this might even prompt a memory to arise of being cut off all the time when you were young, maybe sitting around the dinner table. You were the one who was always cut off. And that wounded you. And it's now made you extra sensitive to being interrupted. At this point, some real healing can start to happen. So this secret is something that you actually will have to practice, likely after the argument has already occurred the first few times, because in the heat of the moment, it's really hard to delve into feelings and objectively allow yourself to search more deeply. With practice, it'll get easier to use on the fly, but at the beginning, I usually suggest that people use a line like, you know what? I'm getting super angry, so I need to take a moment to cool off before we continue this conversation. Then leave the room. Don't engage in argument if they try to argue with you about this. Just leave the room and take some time to work through the iMessage process. If you've already had the full argument, then just play through it afterwards on your own and see where the iMessage takes you. It's still a great learning experience, even though you've already had the argument. So let's say that you do all this, and now you come back to the conversation. Rather than using an awkward iMessage format, because it doesn't feel natural, I totally get that, share what you've uncovered. So you walk back in the room. You know what? I just realized that I'm super sensitive to being interrupted. It makes me feel kind of invisible, and I think that stems from my family always talking over what I was saying when I was young. I apologize if I was getting snappy with you. Now, unless the other person is socially inept, it's quite likely they are going to take a step back from the argument that was forming and slip into a more empathetic stance. They appreciate your honesty. And if they care about you, they don't really want to hurt you. So this means they might apologize for interrupting, which is certainly more than you would have got the other way. And they might also be willing to move on, to work through this, to discuss this with you. Now, it's also possible that they'll divulge how they feel like you never give them space to share their thoughts, so they have no choice in their mind but to interrupt you, which you could, of course, take personally because they didn't use an iMessage, or because you're in a really good objective space, you could use it to further mend the relationship and empathize with them. You know what? I can understand that. I think I do that a lot. Thanks for sharing. I'm going to try to be more aware. The point is that instead of this situation turning into a full-blown fight where you accuse them of interrupting and they accuse you of never letting them speak or telling you that you're just too sensitive, you get to have a real conversation that is actually increasing awareness on both parts. On top of that, it can help you with your healing. So rather than constantly react and believe the other person is to blame for how you feel, start sharing what's going on for you with them. And do it with the full awareness of what's going on for you and why. Just a note, you might not always get to the point where you uncover what memory is causing it. That's okay. This is just showing you how it could work if you allow it to. Did you know that when a person feels defensive, they're less likely to care how you feel? If you want others to really listen to you and care about what you're saying, you want to open the channel to empathy rather than make them put up their shield and prepare for battle. Secret number two, use the flip side to focus on the good. Several years ago, I learned about the wisdom of a coin. The idea is that a coin always has two sides, and just because one side sits face up doesn't mean that the other side disappears. If you take that coin and assign opposites to it, like good, bad, positive, negative, awesome, awful, terrific, terrible, then the coin allows you to see that even though you can't see it at the moment, the flip side is always available. When you take this idea and apply it to your relationships, it means that even when a person is behaving badly, their good side is still there. It's just hidden at the moment. This doesn't mean you should overlook mean or disrespectful behavior. You benefit by being clear on your boundaries and insisting that others respect them all the time. but it does mean that there's always some good to be found. So think about a situation where you felt appreciated by someone else, or you received a compliment or some positive feedback. Now, it's possible that you have trouble receiving the positive information. That's actually a learned thing that a lot of us carry around, and we would really benefit from unlearning it, because being able to receive is very important. But even though it makes you feel uncomfortable, it still feels good and likely makes you want to receive more of it. When we search for the good and make note of it, it tends to have a positive influence on so many things. It influences the other person in a positive way. It attracts more of that positive energy into your life, and it even helps you be more tolerant in other situations. So this secret asks you to search out the positives in the other person and make a point of sharing what you see. This can be easier said than done, because it's often the negative things that jump out at us, especially when you're mad at somebody. And it is those things your ego would prefer to point out. With practice, however, it becomes easier, and when done on a regular basis, it can start shifting everyone involved. When you point out the positives in another, you strengthen your bond with that person and build a positive outlook for yourself. That makes you feel good and contributes to the self-esteem of the person you're complimenting. This helps to make deposits to the relationship, which means more leeway when problems arise in the future. It also helps you to be more compassionate with the other person, which means you're less likely to yell or strike out in a hurtful way. On top of that, most people want to feel approved of. They want to do things right, things that please other people. They just don't always know how. So when you give them this approval, they feel good about it and quite naturally try to cause it to happen again. This is a tool that I often teach to parents, because when your child is driving you crazy, it becomes so easy to just focus on what he's doing wrong all the time, which results in more correcting, criticizing, and even put-downs or catty remarks. It took me a bit longer to recognize that this idea also applies to adult relationships, especially with the males in your life. Alison Armstrong, a woman who specializes in understanding men, talks about this and uses the idea of what if no one is intentionally misbehaving ever. In case you're not following me, she's talking about the men in our lives, not just our children, although it certainly can apply there too. So whether it's with your child, your partner, your mother, or your colleague at work, start searching out the positives. The wisdom of the coin tells us that flip side is always there, and focusing on that is only going to help you in the end. Did you know that when we give in to our desire to point out the faults of others and see changes in their behavior, it's usually because we've activated their internal critic? That's that little voice in their head that makes them second-guess themselves and feel unworthy or undeserving of whatever good things life throws their way. In many relationships, we are feeding the other person's internal critic when we speak. Secret number 3, accept and love unconditionally. Accepting other people for who they are without trying to mold them into the people you wish they could be is not an easy task. It's always easier to pick up on what you think another person is doing wrong or where they need fixing than it is to see it within yourself. As a result, we often think we know where another person needs to personally develop, when in fact we do not. We are all here experiencing our own journey, even our children. People will develop where they need to when they are ready, and not a moment sooner. If we can recognize this and allow them to grow at their own pace, we are accepting them for who they are in that moment in time. This acceptance feels good and helps a person relax and open up subconsciously to the idea of evolving as a human. As I mentioned earlier, this is not the same as excusing inappropriate behaviors or giving up on a person as if he is never going to change. by allowing him to be true to himself and loving him for where he is at rather than where you'd like him to be, you help him recognize when changes are required. When the person you're dealing with is your child, be there to guide and set boundaries, but love and accept her just as she is. Going back to Alison Armstrong, by studying men, Alison has learned a lot about women as well. And she says that when you really break it down, women are judging everyone, including themselves, against their version of the ideal woman. Now, this isn't a fair measure for any of us, and especially for the men in our lives. When we can accept that every person's journey is unique, that there are many different pathways to get to any outcome, that there is no right or wrong way to do things, and even that the ideal woman doesn't actually exist, we can open our minds and our hearts and start learning to accept and love others for exactly who they are right now. It's not up to you to decide how other people should be. Your job in this lifetime is to find and become the best version of yourself. That's it. End of story. When you focus your energy on what you can control, which is you, you positively influence others way more than you do by trying to fix them. Did you know in almost every case, a person who is forced to change in order to be liked or accepted by another will change back when they're stressed? When people stay in a relationship because they are in love with who that person could one day become, they're likely to be very disappointed. People will only truly change when they believe they need to. Secret number 4, lighten up and have some fun. Take the time to have fun in all of your relationships, whether it's a smile shared with a colleague, a laugh with a neighbor, playing with your child, or a meaningful conversation with your partner. All of these things build relationship and help us feel stronger. Once again, this sounds easy to do, but often it's not. The stress we feel from a health concern, the worry we have about our child's daycare, the disappointment we experience when we don't get the job, all drain our energy, making it hard for us to create quality moments with the people around us. That's that drama of life I was talking about earlier. As the tension mounts, the more serious we become and the less effort we put into having fun. Laughter, storytelling, having caring conversations are just a few of the things that help to release that tension and replenish our energy reserves. We've been misled into believing life is all serious and we'll be punished if we enjoy it too much. This doesn't mean we should shirk our responsibilities or drink and do drugs all the time. It means we should learn ways to de-stress, to seek out what makes things fun for us and bring more of that into our life. We need to learn to laugh at things. In many of my shows, I talk about the difference between the ego and the higher self. It's the ego that gets all concerned about things and overreacts when it decides things are bad. When you can start to separate out the ego and learn how to put the higher self in charge, it becomes much easier to smile. Did you know that although eating right, getting enough sleep, exercise, and such are all important parts of healthy living, sometimes a few hours of fun that keeps you up too late or dips into your health protocol in some other way will do more to strengthen you than anything else, especially when great deep belly laughs are involved. Positive human interaction strengthens us in ways that little else can. Secret number 5, focus on making yourself lovable. When you put your energy into your own personal development, you can be a strong, active member in every relationship that you are involved in. To be effective in any relationship, you must first be able to thrive on your own. A relationship is only as strong as the people involved in it. If you are overly dependent on your partner or your friend, if you indulge in hyperparenting or are unable to detach from your own parents, you're going to struggle in other areas of your life. You've come here to grow and develop in some way, and the universe is all set to provide you with the people and experiences that you need in order to do this. This means that you're not bad, defective, or broken in some way, but perfectly poised to learn what you've come here to learn. The people who drive you absolutely crazy in life, that colleague at work, your nasty neighbor, your irritating cousin, they're here to teach you something. Rather than blame them for being so frustrating, put on your observer's hat and start thinking about what you could be meant to learn from them. How? By using all the secrets we've discussed so far. The more quickly you do this, the more easily they will move on out of your life or shift into being the wonderful support you always wished they could be. When you work out a challenging relationship by evolving yourself first, the resulting alliance with that person often becomes super strong. This means it's a great idea to avoid writing off any relationships and instead start working on personally developing so that you can either move on in life without them or develop that strong alliance more quickly. Unfortunately, though, most people would rather resist changing who they are and instead focus all of their attention on what the other person has to do to change first. This secret is telling you that this way of doing things is backwards and will not work out. Put your energy into becoming the person you're meant to be by loving yourself enough to heal the hurts you carry with you. Learn about what you need to feel supported and put those things in place. Put your higher self in charge and become best friends with your ego so that you can see the world more objectively and learn to come from a place of compassion. You are a wonderful soul who has come here to do incredible things. Put your energy into that person first and watch as beautiful people and relationships start coming your way. Did you know the strength of a relationship is not measured by how much you need the other person, but rather by how much you can be yourself with that person and still feel confident he or she will stick around? These are just five of the things you can do to build healthy, strong relationships with the people in your life. They aren't always easy, and you'll never feel like you're done, but you will start to notice a positive difference right away, and like all important things in life, it is well worth the effort. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.